cold? I understand it's supposed to get cold. When is it tonight? 20 degrees cooler?
Oh,
I don't know. Oh, yeah? Well, it's just right in here. Isn't it just the right atmosphere, the right temperature? Everything is right for the study of God's Word, except we need to do a little soul searching. So let's do it, and then we'll begin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our God, that You have all things under control. We need to concentrate on who and what You are. We need to concentrate on all of the assets, all of the promises, all of the power that You have made available to us as we face all the exigencies of life. And there are many. We pray that You will help us to keep our spiritual momentum moving forward. We do that by the inculcation of Your Word. We pray that You will help us to concentrate tonight, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. There's been something on the news, at least it was yesterday. Maybe some of you have heard about it. Charles Rangel is a member of the Congress, and he has a bill before Congress to reinstate the draft. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I found it very interesting. Now, his purpose really wasn't to reinstitute the draft, even though that's what the bill is for. He sees inequities in the fact that there are minorities, too many minorities and underprivileged in the draft, and he says if we are to go to war, then everybody should participate. Well, I'm not even going to address that issue, but I did find something very striking that was not mentioned. That was that this bill before Congress, if indeed it would be passed, which just about everybody is certain that it won't, but it would include both male and females. And this whole report about the draft, no one even mentioned it. I thought about all of these people who were clamoring for the women to have equality with the men, and so they wanted them to get into the military, get into combat, and fly the airplanes, shoot the guns, all this type of thing, you see. I wonder what would happen if, indeed, there is a point in time in the future where they reinstate the draft and they're faced with the issue now that they nearly have to include the girls. Can you imagine the possible outcry of parents all over this nation who have 18-year-old girls that the government is going to tap them on the shoulder and say, I want you. And they are going to go into the military, and as far as I know, very close quarters with the other side of the coin, which are the males, 18-year-old males. I mean, they are full of sap. They are very vigorous in certain endeavors. I know if I had an 18-year-old daughter, and of course, the furthest thing from my mind or hers was the draft when she reached 18 years old. But that's just one of the interesting things that yet looms on the horizon. You see, when you make bad decisions, it causes more and more things to occur that you have to face that are fairly unsavory, and that would be one of them. Isn't it strange that they mentioned the draft being reinstated, both male and female, and no one said a word about it? I mean, the whole issue had to do with Iraq and whether we really needed the draft and so forth. It's kind of like a gorilla sitting in the middle of the room and nobody mentions it. But that's interesting. Of course, they had other things to say about it. They took a poll of the college students, what they thought about it, and you can pretty well guess what their take was. The last thing they want to do is to be drafted into the military and serve in that particular way. It's just very interesting times that we live in. One of the things that we're going to be going over this evening is how to face changing circumstances. That is one of the blessings that God gives to us. If you'll have, I'll reference you to your printed notes. Danny, if you don't mind passing these out to any people that don't have them. These are the printed notes on Super Grace Blessings. We are studying the 39th thing of the 40 things that occur at the point of salvation. And you will remember I made the point last time, this one is unique because this one is not for every believer. Just about all the other things are for a believer of any stripe. But this particular blessing is Super Grace Blessings. We call them escrow blessings. We spent some time on this, and we are going to spend more time on it, and appropriately so, because this is your target. This is your goal. How can you hit a target if you don't know what it is? And this is the goal. Actually, I say it's the goal, but really the goal is to be occupied with Christ. The goal is to be as close to God as possible. And that is not determined by God. That's determined by you, by the choices and decisions that you make. The fact that you are here and the fact that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're concentrating on the Word being taught, is indicative that you are serious about your relationship with God. And that's great, because there are very few believers that understand that. That's why we are still here after salvation, is so that God can be glorified by blessing in a special way those believers who gain capacity through the intake of His Word. Remember that God has already, in eternity past, created these super grace blessings, sometimes called escrow blessings. You already have a file with your name on it, with all of these fantastic things that God has for you. But the only problem is that you have to have capacity. The hardest test to pass is the prosperity test. God would be unfair if He gave a baby believer the hardest test right off the bat. And so He doesn't. This prosperity that we are studying in six categories that we've known as super grace blessings are only for those who, through consistent intake of the Word, have developed a cup, a container for the blessings. And of course, this is all metaphors, but you can understand, before you can contain, before you can hold or have appreciation for all the things that God has for us, you have to have that cup. You have to have the capacity. And that's why we are here. You can't have capacity unless you love God. You can't love God unless you know God. You can't know God unless you're occupied with Christ. You're not occupied with Christ unless you have Bible doctrine in your soul. And where does it all start? Remember the scriptures we went over last time? Humility. You have to make a decision. In fact, every person on earth has to make decisions. They are either going to accept or reject Jesus Christ. That's the number one decision in all of one's life. However, after that, for those who have already passed that stage, then they're going to continue to make decisions. And those decisions are going to be based on either humility or arrogance. If they are humble, they are going to recognize that God has a plan for their life. And in order to execute that plan, you have to do it God's way, not your way. And in God's way, everything is through grace. That is His policy with mankind. You can't earn or deserve anything. The whole purpose of mankind, the angelic conflict, all that God has set in motion is to glorify Him. Mankind, in his arrogance and old sin nature, seeks to glorify self. That's arrogance, and that's doing things your way. But if you're humble, then you're teachable. And you are going to be led to some pastor that accurately exegetes the Word of God so that you can build in your soul that cup. That cup can be referred to as the edification complex of the soul. It's an edifice. It's invisible, and yet it is real. And that edification complex consists of you building capacity. And the top floor of that complex is what we just refer to as plus H. When you have plus H, you share the happiness of God. That means that you are not dependent upon your circumstances. You have risen above that. Because what really fulfills you and satisfies you is communion and fellowship with God. And you have to know Him in order to do that. You have to have all of these doctrines on the front line of troops, sometimes called the flot line, F-L-O-T. And all of those troops are the doctrines that you have in your soul that garner and protect your soul from allowing stress to enter. All of these things are part of what we're studying. Now, if you have your notes, look at point number one. We're dealing with the first phase, again, of the spiritual blessings. These are the escrow blessings that God set aside in eternity past. And when you gain the capacity, then you start receiving these different categories of spiritual gifts. And all we've gone through so far is A, B, C, and D, and I believe maybe a little bit of E, with regards to spiritual blessings. One reason we're spending so much time on the spiritual blessings is because they take priority. Because if you don't have these in place, then you're not going to have the capacity. You're not going to have what it takes to really enjoy the other categories of blessings that follow. That's why these have to be nailed down. You have to understand that these are primary in order for you to fully appreciate and live to the fullest the other blessings that are coming your way. But just look at them again. First of all, sharing the perfect happiness of God is occupation with Christ. And we spent some time on that, as you'll remember. Capacity for life, love, happiness, blessings, and total appreciation for grace. That is part of the spiritual grace package, spiritual blessings. C, the ability to face undeserved suffering in life. I didn't go into a lot of detail in that because that is one of the categories of these super grace blessings that we're going to deal with later. The ability to correctly interpret contemporary history, to evaluate current events in the light of the Word of God. It's really, I would just call it fun. When you have doctrine, when you understand God's overall plan, you know prophecy, and you can read the things that are occurring right now into the picture and recognize that God's plan is being fulfilled right under your nose. And there are not many people that can do that. All you have those that prophecy, I guess you could call them prophecy freaks, that really don't understand systematic theology. And they kind of muddy the waters for those who do. However, true prophecy is always in line with the total picture in the Word of God. You'll remember when we studied the book of Daniel. The angel Gabriel came to Daniel and gave him a panorama of history in a fantastic, very specific way. That's one of the things that makes the Bible so powerful and unlike any other book, is because no other book can see the future because no one else has an author that is God that wrote the Bible. And so we see through prophecy the things coming to pass. We know that there's going to be a one world order, at least that's what they're calling it today. All the pieces of this prophecy are coming together, and we know that the world is going to be more and more evil as time goes by. Sometimes I wonder, how can it get any more evil than it already is? But I can assure you, it will. In fact, God is going to protect us from the most evil, the most horrendous time since history will be the tribulation, and we will be guarded from that. We'll be out of here. But it's very interesting, it's exciting to read yourself into the picture when you can see current events. And this, by the way, when you're looking at current events, a lot of people are somewhat heartened after 9/11, thinking because there's a lot of flag waving going on that we're back on track. I can assure you, we don't even know where the track is as a nation. We are still deeply locked in degeneracy, and we continue to spiral out of control. And it is only God's grace that is allowing this nation to stay afloat. And believers like yourself who understand the situation and want to learn more about God and how not only to survive, but to maintain your happiness through whatever disasters lay ahead are the ones that God is going to give these super grace blessings to. You understand that He is glorified because even in the devil's world and all of the fiery darts that Satan shoots at believers who are positive cannot penetrate, because greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We have nothing to fear, everything to look forward to. We should have a great prospect as far as the future is concerned. We should be very optimistic because of the doctrine that we have in our soul. Number E is freedom from slavery to circumstances in life and the adaptability to changing circumstances. The mature believer is the greatest innovator in time of historical disaster. He is able to change. I think maybe women are a little more adaptable to change than men. I could be wrong about that, but most men that I know do not like change. And in order to overcome that as a man, you have to have your relationship with God right and not have your happiness based on everything set the way you want it. Or for men, it doesn't even have to be the way you want it. It can be just set, and you don't particularly like it, but you're familiar with it. And that's all it takes. You don't want it to change. Even though if it was changed, it might be better for a lot of men, maybe most men, they just soon leave it like it is than to change it for the better. And so that is part of the spiritual blessings, is to innovate in time of historical disaster and the adaptability to changing circumstances. So that is surely one of the blessings that you have once you have the capacity. Now, F, point number F, we have a list of things here. Grace orientation. These are part of the spiritual blessings. And by the way, these things don't come overnight. These things have to be learned, inculcated, and usually that comes over a period of time. I bring your attention to the edification complex of the soul, and we're talking about grace orientation, which is fundamental. It's the foundation. If you are not grace oriented, you're going nowhere in the Christian way of life. If you think that you can earn or deserve anything from God, then you are not grace oriented, and you are really stagnant. That all you're going to have your entire life is this. That's what your house is going to look like in heaven. So you can have a 5-story house. Some people are going to have a 1-story house, and it's not even going to be completed if they're not grace-oriented. I like it because of the acrostic here, G-O. Go. If you want to go somewhere in the Christian way of life and to fulfill God's plan, you have to be grace-oriented. And what's so great about grace orientation is that you're relaxed. It's not up to you. Wouldn't you love someone to come to your doorstep, knock on your door, and it be some guru, one of these swamis or something, supposedly know-it-all, and he says, you come to the door, he says, I got good news. What is the good news? It's not up to you. Wouldn't a lot of people most people want to hear that? Well, we have this from God Himself, and that's what grace orientation is all about. It's not about us and our capability. It's all about God and what He can do. And the issue is, are you going to trust Him or are you going to try to work on a merit system? And that's what most people do today. Grace orientation. Next one is the mastery of the details of life. If you don't master them, they'll master you. And there are a lot of them. What is the secret to mastering the details of life? Prioritize. We all have to prioritize in our life, do we not? Especially in today's time. There was a piece on the news today, and it said there's a thing called toxic stress. Have y'all heard of toxic stress? I thought all stress was toxic, but this is the kind where people can't slow down. They get in this, they're caught up in this snowball effect. They never have enough time to do the things that they want to do. And with all the gadgets that we have to save time, and yet what? Most people today have less time than they did 50 years ago when they didn't have near as many time-saving devices. Isn't that strange? That we have more to deal with, don't we? So the solution to this is prioritize. What is your number one priority? Your relationship with God. How is that maintained? Through the consistent intake of God's Word. You never get full. If you think that you've reached a level that you can coast, well, you just have to learn the hard way. Because none of us coast. We all have to keep that momentum going. The third one is relaxed mental attitude, or RMA. That is exceedingly hard to do in this day and time. You know, back in, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, you go back 100 years and people pretty well lived in their little community. They would get up in the morning and they would go out, and it was more pretty much an agricultural type of society. Most of the family members were right there together. And they would go out, and surely when you have siblings and you have a family, there's going to be a certain amount of stress, but not the kind of stress that we have today. How these people in Houston can get on those freeways and still have any, even a modicum of sanity when they get to work is a mystery to me. How you can go through 5 miles of that type of traffic and not go through a whole bottle of what's that pink stuff? Maalox, yeah. Maalox. I mean, it is unbelievable. I would rather go out nearly and plow a field all day, blisters out in the hot sun and all the rest, than spend 10 minutes in that Houston traffic. I don't think that I would have near the stress. Point is, we have unbelievable amount of stress trying to penetrate our souls every day. Just when you think you got it licked, you come in and you sit down. You're away from it all. You're out of the traffic. Finally, you get to sit down and relax for a minute. Ding, ding, ding. You answer the phone. Hello, I want to know if you're blah, blah, blah. You know, telemarketing. Isn't it easy to lose it right along then? Well, you get the picture. Relaxed mental attitude is part of the overall picture, and it's building. If you don't have grace orientation, if you haven't mastered the details of life, you're not going to have a relaxed mental attitude. I was talking to someone tonight in prayer meeting that went through specific tests, and the people that were engaged in this situation were somewhat taken aback by the relaxed mental attitude that normally would make anybody blow a fuse. And that's where we're trying to get. Is, you see, to have a relaxed mental attitude means that you're not a slave to your circumstances. And even when things are lousy, even when you spend all day on a project and it winds up being totally futile, you could have been doing a lot of other things that you'd rather be doing and are more productive, and yet you put your effort into something. You really didn't want to do it to begin with, but you're going to get this so you can mark it off your list and get it behind you, and then it's a flop and you're right back where you started. Well, how can you maintain your composure, much less be happy in those circumstances? Grace orientation, mastery details of life, and then maximal attitude. That has then love in three categories. That is towards number one, love, personal love towards God. Love towards God is always personal. Love towards your mate, which is sometimes personal and sometimes not. Sometimes it's unconditional. And there is no marriage out there that did not need this unconditional type of love. And for these people who get married in a rush, in the heat of the moment, and think that this is Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, and we're going to live happily ever after, are they in for a surprise? What they're going to need is that unconditional love. We've gone over that. Anyway, after you get all these, then you get up here to plus eights. That is what God wants for you and for me. When you get to this point, you have capacity. It means that you have happiness regardless of your circumstances. Do you know that you don't need these super grace blessings in order to be happy? And if you've got from my teaching that, well, once I get these super grace blessings, I'm really going to be happy, then you've missed the point. Because the way to get this super grace blessings and this plus H is not based on these categories of blessings. If you don't have that happiness already, regardless of your circumstances, your number one priority is God, then you're not going to get them. This is just icing on the cake. God pours this out in six categories. Well, I wanted to get that in so you'd remember your edification complex, hopefully you're building in your soul. So in point F, grace orientation is that first floor. The second one is freedom orientation. Right out in the margin somewhere, when you see freedom orientation, responsibility. Because freedom always requires responsibility. This is not freedom from responsibility. It's freedom in the sense that you are free from your enslavement of your circumstances. And you are free to utilize the doctrines that you have learned in a way that is going to continue to give you more freedom. When you make decisions based on a doctrinal perspective, what happens is it opens the door to more freedom and more freedom. It's like going into bigger and bigger rooms. And just the opposite is true. If you don't have doctrine in your soul, if you're not grace-oriented, if you don't have this edification complex, you're going to make decisions. And when you make those decisions, every time you make a decision not based on doctrine, it limits your choices. It limits your freedom. It's like instead of you start out in a room this size, and every time you open a door, make a decision, you go into a smaller room. Now what are you going to do? Well, I've got to make a decision. You open that door. It's not based on doctrine. What happens? It gets into a smaller room. People on death row have just about used up all of their decisions, and now they're just waiting for the calendar to roll around to where the state takes their life. So, this freedom means that you are making good decisions, which is tantamount to going into a room that's bigger. You make another decision based on doctrinal principles, and it opens up even more. It gets bigger and bigger. That's what freedom is all about. Responsibility is the key. Authority orientation. I have to really use self-control to bring up this issue and not use the rest of the time to expound on this particular issue. Remember, we were in 1 Corinthians about two Sundays ago, and in two verses, the word hupotasso, which is referring to really being submissive, was used five times in two verses. Y'all remember I said, God is very serious about subordinating oneself to His delegated authority. He takes that extremely serious. And part of being the super grace blessings is to have authority orientation. That starts in the home. Parents who have not taught their children authority orientation have failed. And I don't care if they have straight A students. I don't care if they're a member of the National Honor Society. They might be beautiful children, but if they are not authority-oriented, they are monsters. And they have a hard road to hoe because they are not oriented to life. To be oriented to life, you have to be oriented to authority. There's no place on this planet you can go to get away from authority. And it's imperative that you understand. There is no believer who is ready to receive super grace blessings who is not authority oriented. That is a prerequisite. And you have to have your priorities straight, and God is your number one authority. If that's not in place, then you need to be listening to something else, because this is pie in the sky. You'll never get any of these things if you're not authority oriented. The next one is common sense. This is really a misnomer. I think they call this an oxymoron. I like that word, oxymoron. I don't remember what show it was, and somebody was telling this guy working at a gas station, he says, "Well, that's an oxymoron." He said, "What kind of ox did you call me?" Oxymoron. Well, of course, that means that these two don't go together, common and sense, because sense is anything but common. It's astounding when you talk to people, things that are so obvious to a person who has doctrine, and just common sense would dictate that this is the way to go, and they're blind to it. No common sense. Point G, a total sense of security, whether in prosperity or disaster. Fear paralyzes the believer. You have to deal with fear every single day. Even mature believers have to deal with fear. But one of the blessings is to recognize that you are secure. There are a lot of families that are very apprehensive at this particular hour, because they anticipate that their loved ones, both male and female, are about to go into harm's way. And if they don't have the capacity, if they don't have these super grace blessings, it doesn't matter what occurs in this coming year, they are doomed to a life of misery because they are chained to fear. And we rise above that. That's one of the blessings that we receive. We are not chained to fear. We rise above that. And the best thing that parents or loved ones can do when their son or daughter or brother or sister, cousin, whoever it may be, is in harm's way, is to recognize that person is as safe, no matter where he is or what the danger, as he is at home in bed, because he is under God's protection. And nothing can happen to that person, nor to you, unless God allows it. And He will not allow it unless there's a good reason. So much for the spiritual blessings. I bet some of you thought we'd never get out of there. What have we been on it? 4 weeks? Something like that? That's all right. There was a lot there. And don't think that I exhausted everything that's there. It's just... It's time to move on. Number two, temporal blessings. Temporal means temporary. Temporary blessings are temporal. A, wealth, either received or acquired. That means either you earn it or it's given to you. You received it through an inheritance. Maybe you won the lottery. I guess acquired could be if you robbed a bank, but I don't believe that's what's in view here. I don't think super grace blessings go to bank robbers. So part of that is wealth, either received or acquired. Now, that's first, but that in no way is it the priority. Like, that is the best thing. People who have wealth, I mean people who really have wealth, have a lot of money, and they don't have to worry about money. I mean, money, they can have anything they want in life. They will be the first ones to tell you that money doesn't buy happiness. Some of the most contented, happy people in the world are those who have very little. In fact, the Bible says that we can measure our contentment and happiness by what we can be contented with. And it tells us what to be contented with. Food, clothing, in other words, logistical grace. If you have these things, that's all you need. Your happiness, true fulfillment, comes from your relationship with God. When you're thinking divine viewpoint and you're trusting God, especially when the chips are down, that's really when you have the most joy. And it doesn't depend on your circumstances and certainly doesn't depend on wealth. B, professional prosperity, which means great influence, leadership dynamics, success, promotion, recognition in one sphere of life. When God promises you, promotes you, you are qualified for the job. I want to stop right there before I go on. You see, it's a wonderful thing to see people who grow up spiritually and get to a point to where they can take on leadership. Not everybody can take on leadership. In fact, this is listed as one of the super grace blessings. I found that out when I was in construction. Years ago in Houston, I was a superintendent on a job in Houston, a construction job. And I don't know, I think I had about 15 people working for me. And one of the men on the we called it a water pipe crew. In other words, we had different crews for different stages of the job. And this man was great. I could rely on him. He had great work habits and so forth. And I thought, well, I need to promote someone to a foreman's job because we're expanding and someone needs to take the leadership role. So I said, well, he's demonstrated all these things. I'll put him in charge. And it nearly ruined him. Because he was a great worker, and he was happy as a worker. But he did not have the capacity. He wasn't ready to take on responsibility of telling others what to do and all the things that are part of leadership. He nearly did a meltdown. He was so unhappy. He was very conscientious, but he just couldn't do it. I finally had to just say, well, look, just go back to the position you were in, and I'll give this job to somebody else. And he was happy. That's what he wanted. A lot of people think that, well, promotion automatically means more success, more attention. Some people think, oh, if what I want to do more than anything is be a boss, so I'll tell everybody what to do. Oh, you know, I think Chris shaking his head. Anybody that is in a leadership position knows that, you know how you spell leadership? You spell it the same way you do as responsibility, because that's what it means. Taking responsibility. And it's great to see people who grow up spiritually and learn the spiritual dynamics and are not only willing but qualified to take on leadership roles. That's a joy to see that happen. And I've seen it happen here. So that is part of it. And of course, when God promotes you, you're qualified for the job. See, those self-promoters that are out there clawing and scratching to get ahead, stepping on everybody as they go through the up the ladder, those people usually don't have capacity for the job when they get there. They're really not qualified. There's nothing but misery there. But when you're promoted by God, you can be assured that you have the capability and you're qualified. What is the hard thing that you have to do, though, before then? Wait. You just do your job. What if you have a mean boss? Well, are you authority-oriented? Are you depending on that mean boss? Do you have to put down that mean boss so everybody knows that you'd make a much better boss than he would in order to be promoted? Is that what you're going to do? Are you just going to relax? Take whatever that abuse is because you're oriented to doctrine. Do the best job you can as unto the Lord, because you're not working for that boss. You're working for the Lord. That's what you need to understand. And if you have that attitude, then the Lord is going to promote you in His time. I've seen it happen even personally, and it's a great thing. But sometimes you just have to wait. The ability to assume responsibility and authority without emotional inspiration or pseudo-motivation. In other words, You take on this responsibility not to impress others, not because others have to motivate you. Your motivation should come from the Word of God. The Scripture says that you are to do all as unto the Lord. Whatever you do it with your might and you do it with Bible doctrine applied to whatever the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what your pay is. C. Social prosperity, great friends. If you go through life and you have 5 good friends in your entire lifetime, you are exceedingly rare. Most people in an entire lifetime have no more than 2, maybe 3 really good friends. And this is part of your promotion. This is part of your package that God will bring into your life, those friends in whom you can click, you can confide. A friend can be so important. Many times friends are closer than family, and God will bring them into your periphery. Of course, these are not things that you seek after. These are things that God automatically bring into your life. So great friends. When I say social prosperity, that doesn't mean that you have to buy a tuxedo and make all the high society and start drinking martinis, and that's not what it's all about. It's about having the capacity to not only make a friend, but keep a friend and be a friend. That's what it's all about. And you can't do that without doctrine. Or it's rare, let me put it that way. D is sexual prosperity with one's right man or right woman. Boy, is this major. I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be single today. They tell me from all the outward appearances, there is not much to pick from. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It's very slim pickings out there to find someone who, first of all, is a believer, second of all, is positive towards doctrine, and third of all, is somewhat clicks with you. You have compatibility. There is a rapport. I don't know how many women there are in the world. There's more women than men. But however many there are, with those requirements that I just gave, narrowed it down probably to about 6. At least that's what the bachelors tell me these days. And they don't know where these 6 are. They don't even know if they're in this country. So exceedingly difficult, and it's vice versa. You talk to the women, and they'll just tell you there's no men out there worth having. And I tend to agree with them. Most men, when you get on the attractive scale, that doesn't even register with me. I've never seen. The most handsome man I've ever seen was Dr. Kildare. Y'all remember, what's his name? Richard Chamberlain. And he was so handsome, he nearly was sliding over into the feminine side. So a man can't win as far as looks goes. Because if he's that good looking, he looks kind of feminine. And if he's really manly looking, then he's just kind of ugly. I mean, he's kind of utilitarian. You know, maybe a square jaw, you know, and the weirdest thing, these guys these days in Hollywood, they're letting his beard grow out. And I don't know what that's supposed to... Have y'all noticed any of that? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Man, it looks just dirty to me, kind of grungy. If I was a woman, the last thing I would want to do is put my cheek against a wire brush like that. But, I mean, everything's topsy-turvy. Sexual prosperity, if you could count how many people... By the way, sexual prosperity doesn't mean that you need a calculator for all your sexual conquests. That's not what this means. That's one way you could take that, and that's the way a lot of people live their lives. That's because they have no capacity, and so they think happiness is in sex, so they think, well, I've just got to keep the meter running. I've just got a full tilt just satisfy my lust most as much as I can, but that's not prosperity. That's degeneracy, and it's going against God's laws. See, here's a good example. There are some men that would think, you know, if I was, the only way to truly be happy was if I would move to like Saudi Arabia or somewhere and get a harem with 40 women in it. Now, that would probably make me happy. That's the way some, maybe a lot of men think. And they think that if they could have sex every hour on the hour or whatever they dream up, this is going to make them happy. Well, the Bible even addresses that. Solomon had 1,000 women. That's a lot of women. I mean, he had his pick. And they didn't have computers. He couldn't go to a file. He probably didn't have them categorized as blondes, brunettes, redheads, whatever it was. I don't know how he chose what woman he wanted to be with, but 1,000. And you know what he said at the end of trying to satisfy himself by satisfying his lust? Vanities of vanities. It is all empty. So we don't have to go there. Solomon went there for us, a lot more than any of us could do, so we might as well just understand that we need to just relax. And one of the temporal blessings is not only social prosperity with friends, but also sexual prosperity with one's right man or right woman. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that every person who reaches this spiritual maturity and God opens the valve on these escrow blessings that here comes the babe or here comes the hunk. That isn't what it means, because some people go through life and are never married and are perfectly happy if they have capacity and their number one relationship is with God, occupation with Christ. You see, this is a good time to bring this out. When you reach this capacity stage where God releases these blessings, it doesn't mean that you're going to get every one of these. There's all different combinations, and you might get more of this and less of that, and maybe none of this and an extra measure of this. God knows exactly what's going to make you happy, and He has customized your package, your file with your name on it, exactly with what it takes to make you happy beyond your wildest imaginations. And it doesn't always include the opposite number. So if you're out there thinking that I won't be happy till I get Mr. or Mrs. Right and we live happily ever after, then if that's as far as you're going to go, you might as well check into Disney World and start reading Mother Goose rhymes, because that's about how mature you are. You're not going any further than that. I mean, it's just... But, you know, that sounds, well, nobody thinks that way. Do you know how many people think that if they could just meet the right person, they live happily ever after? Until they meet them and marry them. Then you don't have to tell them. Number E, technical prosperity or mental prosperity is the ability to think and concentrate, it should be increases, and concentration increases. That's the idea here. All true love requires concentration. You understand that? Any woman can tell you that. Well, that's true. When you go out with a woman, you better be concentrating on her if you want to have a pleasant evening. If you're not concentrating on her, and the waitress walks by in one of those short dresses and you kind of do a double take, you're not concentrating on her, and don't think that she doesn't know it. And in most cases, don't think that you won't hear about it. But that's really not... I'm talking about concentration in a way. But that is true. The point is, love demands concentration. And you know what? Listen to this. Hope you get this. Unconditional love demands concentration. In other words, when someone is not lovable, There's nothing about them that is attractive. And you'd like to just pinch their head off. That's what the flesh would want to do. How can you love somebody like that? What are you going to be concentrating on? You can't concentrate on them. If you did, you'd probably bring out the ball bat or something. Who knows? So what are you concentrating on? You're concentrating on your own character, the doctrine that is in your soul. That's what unconditional love is all about. See, unconditional love doesn't mean that you stop concentrating. You still concentrate. Personal love, what does that mean? Oh, you're concentrating on all the attractiveness of this other person. And of course, if you're on the dating scene, and someone that you are attracted to and everything is clicking, no one has to tell you to concentrate on them, do they? In fact, if it continues, it gets to where you can't concentrate on anything else. That's what they call the cloud nine syndrome. You go through phases in a relationship, and when you get into that, people talk to you and it's like nobody's at home. Why? Because you're concentrating on that person. It's easy to concentrate on someone who is very attractive, giving you all the signals, and you have a rapport, and everything is clicking. But what about the person that is obnoxious? The person that you just really have a hard time being around. What do you concentrate on then? You concentrate on your own integrity, your own character that has been built over the years, which is the Bible doctrine residing in your soul. What if you can't do it? What if you just say, I cannot concentrate on what's in my soul because what's in my soul is just as ugly as what's in his because he's brought me down. What do you do then? Father, I don't have it. I can't unconditionally love this person. I need the power to be able to do that. That takes rebound and that takes doctrine. If you have those two things, then you're going to be concentrating on the doctrine in your soul, and then you're concentrating on the right thing, and you can have that unconditional love. Concentration is absolutely imperative. If you've been here this evening or any other evening, and your mind is not here, if you're not with me, if you're not concentrating on what I'm saying, then it's much good as this vacant chair right here, because your chair is really vacant. It's got a body in it, but there's no activity going on, and at least not with regards to what's being taught. And so it's imperative that people concentrate. That's one reason we have such good manners in here. What if we had somebody in here, just can't sit still, and they're scratching their head and they're waving their arms and all these other things? What? The reason that we have such great academic discipline here is for concentration. You don't have any reason not to concentrate here. And I've been to churches and other churches I couldn't believe. I sat behind when we were in Colorado, yeah. I couldn't believe what was going on in that church. Well, that church was weird anyway. I mean, they wouldn't even stay in their seats. There was a lot going on. But even in regular churches, I've seen a young guy and girl be putting he'll put his arm around her, and the whole service, they're sitting there making goo-goo eyes at one another. Well, what's going on there? Are they listening? Are they getting anything? You could ask them, what was the message about? And they would say, what message? They're not concentrating. Well, you get the picture. Cultural prosperity. This is maximum enjoyment of drama, art, literature, music, and history. Some people, even when they have the capacity, can enjoy an opera or even ballet. I can't say that with a straight face. But it's true. Classical music. I mean, you just have capacity to where you're ability to appreciate so many things start to open up. Now, let's say that you're a good old boy, tobacco chewing, cowboy hat wearing truck driver. Does that mean that you can't enjoy the opera or ballet? Well, some people say that's impossible, but no. This is one of the things that can open up your horizons to so many things because you're not thinking in stereotypes. You're thinking of just what pleases you. And God can open up this horizon to so many things. G is establishment, prosperity, enjoyment of freedom, privacy, protection of life and property from criminals and reprisals. You don't even know how many times that God will protect you and save you from criminals who have harm intended for you. All these things God does for those believers as a temporal blessing. And the last one, which in no way is in priority, the last one is health. God can give you good health in order to appreciate His creation, maybe the opera, all these other things that otherwise you might not have the ability to do. Now, that is not to say that all mature believers have good health, but that can be one of the things. Could be that you had a chronic ailment your entire life. Maybe it's something in your back or something. You know, everybody has a backache. Maybe that might be removed. That could be one more of the things that God does for us at and when He releases His blessings. Well, that ends temporal blessings. You know, last time I did nothing but go over Scripture. Tonight I didn't go over too many Scriptures because I'm trying to give you an overview of what lies ahead for those who have put their priorities straight and who are grace-oriented. Next time, we're going to start with blessing by association. We have one more page that I haven't given to you yet that will finish out these super grace blessings. These blessings by association, I'll already tell you this. God is so great that when you have a cup, you, as a super grace believer that have reached spiritual maturity, can never build a cup enough, big enough, to hold God's blessing. There's never been a believer who had a cup big enough to hold God's blessings. And those blessings will spill out every time for the mature believer, and that's where other people are blessed. God's going to bless you so much that other people who come in contact with you, it might be a business, it might be an organization or whatever, God will bless the whole thing just so He can bless you. That's the kind of blessings that we're talking about. And to be able to rise above your circumstances is blessing enough, but He's got a lot more than that. Well, we'll start there next time, and I'll have the next page of printed notes for you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we have to focus our attention upon these great and wonderful things that You have already created for us. What a privilege. How much of an honor it is for us to study the great things that You are anxiously anticipating to give to us. All we have to do is gain the capacity. You have it all in Your plan. And what a wonderful plan it is. We just pray that You will give us the good sense to set our priorities straight so that we will keep our spiritual momentum moving forward. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.